All right. Well, my church family, I'm so glad to be with you. This is weird, and it's wonderful that we get to have this time together. As I look around this room that I'm in right now, I feel alone, but I'm not alone, and neither are you. We are part of a remarkable community of men and women called Christian Assembly. And CA, I love you. And I am asking you to lean in with me and listen for God's word to speak to us today. We've been in a series called Running with the Giants, and we're going to continue to move through that series today and in the weeks to come. We're learning from stories in the Bible about men and women of heroic faith. And what better to learn from than that? Honestly, I chose the topic of this message months ago when we didn't know what was going to happen. And so I really believe that God will speak through His Word to us with a message from God's heart. Today, we're running with the giants, and we're running we're learning from a hero of faith who could also be considered one of the craziest men in the Bible. We're going to learn from the heroic faith of Noah. You ever wondered if you were crazy? I'm not talking about mental health. I know the reality of mental health well, but my guess is that if we could play your life on the screens, there would be some crazy moments, because all of us have some crazy moments in life. Some of you have probably witnessed some crazy moments even in the last few days as people are fighting their way through grocery stores. Just today, Lindsay was at a grocery store this morning, and she was in line behind a lady that had several items in her shopping cart. And the lady in front of Lindsay made just the comment that she had enough food to feed herself for the rest of the year. And so my wife just made the kind of comment back to her, "Oh, good, well, I'll come over to your house." And the lady snapped back, "No, it's enough for me." She was serious. It was not a joking matter for her. Sometimes we get a little bit crazy about some things, and we have some crazy moments. There's some lyrics from a song that Gnarls Barkley sings that some of you might be familiar with. And the lyrics of his song say this: "I hope that you're having the time of your life, but think twice. That's my only advice. Come on now, who do you think you are? Bless your soul, you really think you're in control? Well, I think you're crazy." And sometimes when we believe we are in control, we're controlling the outcomes of life, we can get a little crazy. And the song goes on to say, "My heroes had the heart to live their lives out on a limb, and all I remember is thinking, I want to be like them." Heroes live their lives out on a limb. And sometimes heroes look crazy before they become heroes. And that is true of this character that we're looking at in Scripture today. It was true of Noah. See, the question is not whether you or I will have some crazy moments in life. The question is, what's underneath your moments of crazy? And what results from those moments? It's when we get a little crazy about something that our character is revealed. What's in us, what is true of us, begins to show up in our crazy moments. And we're probably all familiar with the images of Noah's Ark as a little round old man with white hair, a kind of Santa Claus, peeking out of a boat, smiling and waving, surrounded by a couple of cute giraffes. But before this story became cute, this story was crazy. It was about a man whose faith led him to do something crazy. And so it was so crazy, though, that originally, or for many, many, many years, men and women concluded that this story must just be a kind of myth, a kind of silly way to explain rainbows. But the truth of the story of Noah is that the research continually produces evidence that it actually happened. The flood story shows up in the records of ancient people on every continent. People all over the world in ancient times said there was a great flood that covered the earth, and one man and his family did something crazy. They survived it in a boat. And if that story shows up in ancient records all over the world, then maybe it's not so crazy after all. And so I want us to learn what made Noah the hero who rose above the flood and weathered the storms. Hebrews 11, verse 7 sums this up, saying it this way: "It was by faith. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that have never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith." Crazy Noah, with his crazy faith, became a crazy hero. I want you to look at the verses in Genesis with me that'll show up on your screen as we dive deeper into this story as it was originally told in the Old Testament. Beginning in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. That's the Bible's way of saying this is Noah's story. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Circle that, underline it, remember it, write it down. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Things were bad. Things were bad, and they were getting worse. And God said to Noah, "I've determined to make the end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood." Some say cypress wood. We don't know exactly what kind of wood it was. But God said, "Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you are to make it. Noah, make it big. Make it really big." Verse 17, "For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die." Just put that in a Hallmark card. "But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark." This is the two by two part of that story. All the animals coming two by two. Verse 21, "Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten." Noah, you better have plenty of food on this journey. And verse 22, "Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him." Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, "When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky, and the rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. And that very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and with them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal." Verse 17, "For 40 days, the flood waters grew deeper, covering the ground. lifting the boat high above the water. And as the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. And finally, the water covered even the highest mountains on the earth. And rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks, all living things on earth died. Verse 23, God wiped out every living thing on the earth. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat. And the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. And so God sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. And in chapter 9, God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. And when I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. Great story, crazy story. What can we learn from this giant of faith? Here's the most important statement about Noah. It's in chapter 6, verse 9, that tells us Noah walked with God. In the midst of a violent and corrupt generation, Noah walked to a different beat. In the midst of a world gone mad, Noah walked with God. He lived in a time when people were living with no care for God or God's way of life. It was a crazy time, and Noah walked with God. And as a result, Noah knew God, and he could hear God's warning of the flood. And he could hear God's plan of salvation for he and his family. Noah walked to a different beat among his generation because he walked with God. That is what made all the difference in Noah's life and in the life of his family. He alone was prepared to trust God and receive God's grace because he alone was walking with God. To walk with God means to stay close to God, to keep our attention on God. Think about men and women in the military that march together. They learn to step together by listening to the rhythm of a cadence and a commanding officer's commands. Noah's attention was on God, listening for God's commands. When you're walking with God, giving your attention to God, listening for God, walking in rhythm with God, you'll see things you wouldn't notice on your own. You see the world around you, and you see events around you and behavior around you and choices around you differently than you might on your own when you're walking with God. This is what we see in Noah's life. In a world that was full of violence and corruption, in a world gone mad, where no one paid any attention to questions of right and wrong, in a world with no moral compass, Noah walked with God, and that made all the difference. And so I want to point out to you three characteristics that were true of Noah and are true of any man or woman who chooses to walk with God. Here's the first characteristic. If you want to walk with God, choose to take God at His word. Whatever God said, Noah believed it. This is absolutely critical for anyone who walks with God. Noah believed what God said more than Noah believed anything else. We read Hebrews 11 where it said God warned him about things he had never seen happen before. And we know from earlier in Genesis that part of what that is referring to is the fact that until the flood happens in Genesis, the Bible tells us it had never rained before. That somehow the waters from the ground watered the earth, but it had never rained. I don't understand that. I don't know how it worked exactly. But the Bible says it had never rained. And now God is telling Noah, rain is coming. What's rain? You'll see, Noah. The whole world will be flooded with water, some from the ground and some from the sky. And Noah's response, though he doesn't understand this, he's never seen this before, his response to God is, okay, I don't understand it. I've never seen it. It sounds crazy, but Lord, if you say it, I believe it. People who walk with God take God at His word. Even when everyone around Noah was living another way, Noah still believed God's way was the best way. When everyone else is hoarding toilet paper these days and buying up the hand sanitizer, and when everyone else is focused on getting theirs, and you trust God's word, you're going to be walking to a different beat as you trust and believe and listen to His word that says He is the Lord who provides. God's word says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Believe it. Take God at His word. Sometimes it'll seem crazy to believe God, but that is when crazy faith becomes heroic faith. I know that sounds kind of childish, kind of simplistic. If God says it, I should believe it. Come on. Aren't we more advanced than just believing what we read in the Bible? Let me say two things about that real quick. Number one, the Bible is the most challenged, scrutinized, critiqued, and researched book in human history. And as time goes by, we have only increased in the evidence of its reliability and authority. The Bible is not a secret book. There are historical and archaeological sources available for us to see. It is far from baseless and outdated. On a purely objective level, it is by far the most likely source of revelation from God ever given to humanity. And so, yes, take God at His word. And the second thing I want to say about the Bible's reliability, the more advanced the human race becomes, the more violent and corrupt we become. Perhaps the question is not whether we've advanced beyond believing the Bible. Perhaps the question is whether or not we read the Bible. If God has given us His word, perhaps we are advanced enough to try it out and discover why its message of God's salvation has not stopped giving hope and leading men and women to transformation all over the world in every generation. In Luke's gospel, Jesus points to Noah's story as a warning having to do with this very question of whether or not we take God at His word. Luke's gospel says that Jesus said this, when the Son of Man returns, speaking of Himself, it'll be like it was in Noah's days. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. And what's he saying there? Jesus is saying these people gave absolutely no thought of God or God's plan for them. They were just living their lives, eating, partying, going to weddings, doing what people do, doing good things, not bad things, but they were not paying any attention to God's word. God was an afterthought. And Jesus says that when he returns to bring God's plans to completion, there will again be people who just give no attention to God's word. In a world where people paid no attention to God or his word, they had become increasingly violent and corrupt, but one man was different. One man was crazy enough to walk a different way, God's way, because he took God at his word. I've never seen it rain. I've never seen the earth flood. I've never built a boat like that. I don't know how I'm going to get 2 by 2 of every creature. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish any of this. But Lord, if you say it, I believe it. A few years ago, I got a call from a man in our church who asked if I would officiate his wedding along with a Buddhist priest who would represent his wife's Buddhist faith. I said to the man, well, before we go through with this wedding, I want to ask you, what do you make of the teachings of Scripture about not being joined in marriage with someone who holds a different faith than you? I said, your marriage is going to have a divided allegiance if you are following Jesus and your wife is practicing Buddhism. And the man on the phone said, I know what the Bible says about that. I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's possible. It's possible to pick and choose what parts of the Bible you want to take seriously and what parts you want to dismiss. But if you want to walk with God all the way across the finish line, take a cue from Noah. Noah believed what God said more than he believed anything else. Trust God and take God at his word. Number two, second characteristic here of people who walk with God. People who walk with God consistently obey God. See, it's one thing to believe that God has revealed his word to us. It's another thing to apply it to our lives. In the Bible, faith is always associated with obedience. In fact, faith and obedience, they're really like two magnets that stick together. Obedience is always being pulled toward faith. Whatever you really believe will become evident in your actions because obedience follows faith. Biblical faith is not passive belief. Biblical faith is actively believing what God has said is true and applying the truth of God's word to your life. Biblical faith is rooted in the act of walking. In fact, the word for faith in Hebrew is rooted in the act of walking. I would only choose to walk somewhere if I believed the surface I walked on would hold me and get me where I belong. Faith is the same. Faith walks on something. Faith walks somewhere. That's why Jesus says, follow me, walk with me, believe me, trust me, walk with me. Noah walked with God. His faith was not passive. His faith resulted in obedience. 3 times the Bible repeats this statement. Noah did all that God commanded him. If you want to walk with God, you walk by faith and you walk in obedience. How does that look in your life? Are you walking with God? Has your faith become passive, or is it active in obedience to God's word? If I were Noah, I think I could have been tempted to think, well, we'll see, God. If the sea levels rise, if water starts appearing in the sky, I'll try to build a boat as big as I can, God. We'll see. If animals start showing up two by two, then I guess that'll indicate that this really is going to happen. It just seems so weird. I mean, no one else is building boats, God. That's a passive faith. That's faith in my surroundings and what I see around me, not in what God says. So if my obedience follows faith in my surroundings, then I won't act until I see reason to act. But if my obedience follows my faith in God, then I want to act on what God says regardless of what I see around me. Noah paid more attention to God than he paid to his surroundings. And as a result, he just kept doing everything the Lord commanded him. People who walk with God trust and obey. And here's the third and final characteristic of people who walk with God. If you want to walk with God, you can bring others with you to safety. Noah doesn't only save two by two of the animals. Noah also saves his family. The rest of the world might be headed for disaster, but Noah made certain that his family wasn't. Listen, Noah's faith and obedience resulted in building the ark and saving his family. Whatever you believe and whatever you do with those beliefs will build something. And the life you're building has people living in it and around it, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers and friends. So what are you building with your faith and obedience? And whose lives are getting saved by what you are building? Maybe you're working hard to save a business. Maybe you're working hard to save your retirement. Maybe you're working hard to build a life that saves yourself but leaves very little room for anyone else. Who's building an ark for your family? Who's building an ark for your city? Who's building an ark for your coworkers, moms and dads? Are you building an ark for your kids, or are you waiting for them to figure out how to walk with God on their own? Are you building lives of faith and obedience that show others how to walk with God, how to navigate trouble, how to ride the waves of culture and survive the floods of sin that can destroy our lives? If someone were walking through life with you, would they learn to walk with God? Who is in the life of faith and obedience that you're building? Who is in your ark? There's a man in our church named Jack Bernstein who leads an organization called Cry Help. It's an addiction recovery facility where men and women go to get clean and sober. It's an ark built for addicts. That's what it is. It's an ark built for addicts. Jack entered that ark. He entered Cry Help as an addict himself over 40 years ago. And now, today, Jack is the CEO of Cry Help. He leads it. Jack also began to walk with Jesus about 10 years ago. And even though Cry Help is a secular organization with no Christian agenda, Jack started bringing recovering addicts from Cry Help along with him to Christian Assembly on Sunday mornings. And now, sometimes there are two vans of men and women in recovery who show up here on Sundays. Some of those men and women have even become followers of Jesus themselves. They have started walking with Jesus. Some of them have gotten baptized. Some of them continue to be discipled and to serve and to be part of our church family. Jack's faith. And Jack's obedience to God, to be faithful, to walk with Jesus, is building a life that has become an ark for others to find safety. Who is in your ark? God, make us people who walk with you. Make us a church that walks with you. We want to be a church that others point out and say they believe things that others just don't believe. They hope things that others just don't hope. They're honest about the world, and they're honest about sin and about grace, and they aren't rose-colored and out of touch. No, no, no. That church, Christian Assembly, they're more in touch because they walk through the messes of this world with God. You might not have faith, but start hanging around those people of Christian Assembly, and it'll be hard not to believe. You might not pray, but you hang around some of those people at that church and you'll learn to pray. You'll learn to pray big prayers of faith. You'll learn to walk with God. Noah walked with God. Are you walking with God? I know so many of you are. I know so many of you have stories of heroic faith, and you look back and you think, how did I get through that? You got through it because you were walking through it with faith in Almighty God. Noah walked with God. Matt walks with God. Put your name in that statement. In fact, right now, I want you to just say it out loud. Your name walked with God. Matt walked with God. Ready? Say it again. Matt walked with God. One more time. Your own name walked with God. We'll look crazy sometimes. We'll be different. That'll always be true of men and women of faith. That'll always be true of following and trusting Jesus. That'll always be true of people who are determined to obey all that the Lord has commanded. But that kind of faith-filled, obedient craziness, that's exactly the kind of heroic life that will rise above the floods and weather the storms. Because we are walking with God. That's my prayer for us, Christian Assembly, in the weeks ahead, that we walk with Him. We walk with Him alone, and we walk with Him together. We walk with Him through this city. We walk with Him in our workplaces. And we find that as we walk with Him, we know Him more. As we walk with God, our faith strengthens. As we walk with God, we take even bigger risks. That's my prayer. And let's sing together before we're done. And let's sing our prayer to God. Tommy's going to lead us. Woo! How long was that?